Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatica. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning, our show is entitled, Pleasant Words Create a Positive Ecology of the Heart. You may remember that in the last show, we discussed biblical mind-body medicine. And again, we spoke about the topic of anger from the perspective of the biblical doctrine, and how and the fantastic word pictures of the biblical documents, patience is seen as being long known, very graphic and important picture, because in the Old Testament, anger is associated with the nose or with nostrils. So to be long of nose means to be patient. And to be short of nose represents anger. The word is path. And to be short of nose represents heat, or the heat of anger. And to be long of nose represents the opposite, that is, be patient toward another. I'm going to read to you, beginning from Nahum, the prophet Nahum, a very short prophecy, but very substantive in nature. In Nahum chapter 1, we read, an oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And it is from this verse in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, that we get the word picture to be long of nose. So we read that the Lord is slow of anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. Now, so we have this extraordinary word picture that graphically portrays for us the patience of Yahweh Elohim toward those who are disobedient. You will remember that the Lord had sent the prophet Jonah to speak to the Ninevites, and the Ninevites had been the enemy of the people of Jonah. So therefore, he did not want to go and speak to these people. We wanted, on the other hand, for God to extend his judgment toward the people of Nineveh, but the Lord sent him to speak words of mercy and words of patience, not words of tolerance, but words of mercy. And that mission did not bode well with Jonah. He wanted God to show the people of Nineveh his wrath. Well, the people of Nineveh repented under the preaching of Jonah. And it took a little over 100 years. And then they went back to they reverted, I should say, to their old behavior, their old ways. And so the prophet Nahum speaks of the coming judgment of God upon the Ninevites. And so the patience of God had come to an end. And so I want to illustrate for us the importance of pleasant words. And God did speak pleasant words to the Ninevites through Jonah, and that they were words of salvation. They were words that related the salvation activity of Yahweh toward the Ninevites. And so they were therefore very powerful. I'm going to be reading for this morning's show, I'm going to be reading from Proverbs. And in my Bible, under the word Proverbs, I have written healthy life essentials. So that when I turn to this book of Proverbs, or the Nashal document, when I turn here, that is the first thing that hits me, because that is the import of this book, Proverbs, that is healthy life essentials, that is the walk of the believing one, how to order one's steps, or how to order one's behavior, and what we say, our words, our demeanor, what we allow to influence us as adults, what we allow to come into our minds. Oh, that is the refusal to poison the mind with things that betray and decay the mentality, the refusal to poison our bodies, to put things in our bodies that we know are very dangerous to our health and so therefore will destroy our vessel. And so we understand that mind and body are unity, not a unity, but mind and body are unity. And so therefore, the biblical spirituality stresses that if one walks in relationship to Yahweh Elohim, then therefore one's life must also be taken up. One's complete life is taken up into that sacred realm. The body is sacred space. The mind is sacred space. And so therefore, wherever we are sacred space because we're in constant communion with Yahweh Elohim. This is not veneer. This is not posturing or, in Thackeray's Vanity Fair, in which he speaks of people who are mere masks with no backs to their heads. Now, I'll put it to you that I put together a message and I talked about this, and one individual got quite upset with me when I talked about Thackeray and Vanity Fair and the nature of Vanity Fair and persons with individuals that had no backs to their heads because they were a mere mask. They were veneer. And this life is not about veneer. This life engages the substantive. It does so at a deep inner level. And this life is about growing. Peter, indeed, says that we have been made partakers of the divine nature. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. And so there's this very powerful relationship that we have with God. It is a wonderful relationship in that we grow as individuals and the mind grows. One of the areas that in the book of Proverbs that the book of Proverbs immediately engages is that of being naive, being open-minded in the Western sense of what that represents. In the biblical document, Proverbs is seen as being naive or simple-minded. The mind must be filled with that which is appropriate in order to protect itself. Indeed, in the Proverbs, we're told to guard the heart, for from it flows the issues of life. In Genesis 2, Yahweh tells the Adam that he is to guard his home, the Garden of Eden. He is to guard it. And literally in Hebrew, to guard the heart means to imprison the heart. It means to protect the heart in such a way as to provide a garrison around it because of what lies outside and what seeks to overthrow the heart and therefore enslave it. You and I know that the corporate milieu has laid siege to the Western mind and taken the Western mind and sold it back to the people. So people's minds have been taken, and people's minds have been taken without, it is amazing that the minds of persons have been taken rather brutally and then packaged and sold back to them in a way that is unrecognizable. And so persons have been systemically truncated. And so indeed, they have become mere consumers of goods who have a particular statistical usefulness. And so therefore, it becomes necessary to begin cultivating the next generation, in the younger generation, even more aggressively. Because indeed, they are the new consumers. We offer a different view of life. We offer the view of life that is filled with meaning, that which is absent abroad. But a life that is filled with me. So in Proverbs 16:24, this the verse reads, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones." This indeed is biblical mind-body medicine, and one sees the unity of mind-body. And how how appropriate words in the Hebrew, that is, a pleasant, suitable words or becoming words. Notice the energy, and notice the import of these nouns: pleasant or suitable. Becoming words. are, and then the verb. We have a verb, and then we have the article, are a honeycomb. And so notice how the balance that the writer presents and what he wants the auditor or the reader to see. This is a spiritual message. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Now, the honeycomb is filled with the results of the tireless labor of the bees. It takes a great deal of work to produce the honey. So pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And so we labor. We work hard. We are diligent about what we say and how we say what we say. And so indeed, we work upon the heart so that within ourselves, there is this wonderful reality, this intrinsic reality. There is this wonderful understanding. There is this essential reality going on within us because we have sought to cultivate within our hearts the importance of suitable, pleasant, becoming words. And so we are made healthy because of the choice that we have made. Our hearts are healthy. The nephesh, or the soul, or the psuche in Greek, is healthy because it is built up from that which is substantive, which is necessary. If one is to rise above mere functioning to thriving, and then when one is faced with adversity, one has the ability to persevere or to bounce back. It is called resilience by some. In the biblical documents, it is the word hupomene. And hupomene means to be placed under or to remain under an adverse situation or a situation that God has placed within the life until one has gleaned from that experience or situation all that God wants us to glean, and then have the ability to charge forth in victory. So, pleasant words make up, when they make up my manner or demeanor within, when the internal cosmology is filled with words that are pleasant and strong, then the nephesh, or the soul, is healthy and strong. And so one sees, and so this is why under the word Proverbs and giant bold print and in my Bible, I have written healthy life essentials, because that is indeed what is being addressed. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. So I benefit primarily from pleasant words because they make up my internal dialogue, my dialogue, my self-thought. You and I have seen what happens to persons whose lives are burdened with shame, or who are angry, or who are bitter, or who are resentful. And then, indeed, the word resent means to rehearse over and over again. And notice what the internal dialogue consists of. Anger, bitterness, resentment, hate, shame, and the results thereof. Or persons who have been taught that they are unworthy, or who have been taught they were never wanted. You see the results of these very unfortunate words turned into beliefs, deep beliefs that go deep into the heart. And the lie, the inherent lie of those words becomes the truth, quote unquote, of the individual. And the individual lives, as it were, a life of mediocrity. The individual lives well below what she or he could live because of a lie that is the truth for these persons. It takes some work, it takes effort to speak to the mind or to the heart that has been baptized, as it were, or immersed into this heinous cosmology. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And notice the last section of the verse, and healing of the word is marphe, or marphe in the Greek. Marphe in the Hebrew. And so, and healing to the bone. Healing to the bones. In the book of Jeremiah, we're given a beautiful picture of this word, marpe, or healing. And I'm going to read from Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I pray. The word heal is rapha, which means to sew together or to mend, or to heal by sewing up a wound. But it is a picture, a very important picture of what God will do and what God can do for the heart that has indeed been wounded. And so healing, we have Rapha, and for healthy in Proverbs 16:24, we have Marpe, or healthy. And so pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. There have been so much or so many studies in mind-body medicine that has shown us the connection between the brain and the mind, the autonomic nervous system, the endocrine system, and the immune system, and this very powerful interrelationship, and how words and attitudes and thoughts how attitudes which are built up of words can either break down the body or build up the body. We know that neuropeptides, which are short proteins, we believe, communicate with each cell of the body down to the osteoblast. And that is the bone cells, and deep in the center of our bones, where blood cells are made. And so we are indeed unitary beings. So pleasant words are healing to the bones. The bones give us structure. Without our bones, we couldn't, you know, what we would be. And so even the nose, which is a symbol of anger, and even the nasal concha and the bones that make up the nose area, when we take in a breath of air and when we sniff up, that cool air is warmed through the geometry of the bones that make up our nasal bones. So that symbol of anger has a physiological and anatomical aspect that is well worth studying. God has given us his word so that we might grow thereby and understand life anew, so that we might live differently, so that our lives may indeed prosper in his sight. When we use pleasant words, we are blessed. That is, we receive so much, because when we use pleasant words, we bless another, and there is this is reciprocal. We benefit from pleasant words, and so this is how we create that positive ecology of the heart, both within ourselves and in another. It is well worth practicing, well worth studying, well worth learning to meditate upon this fantastic verse in Proverbs 16:24. God has indeed come to give us life in superabundance, and we must enter into that life in a way that is very practical, in that I begin with myself. I begin to change me, begin to look at life from divine viewpoint, and to implement those things in my life that God finds desirable. And God wants me to change my thinking about the way words are used, and prosper and be lifted up. This is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matter Cost. Have a wonderful day.